My next guest is on the line. His name is Michael Herbst. He is the head of Department of Cancer Association of South Africa. It's abbreviated to CANSA. Michael, thank you for joining us this afternoon here on Chai FM.
Good afternoon to everybody who's listening in.
So I've got to tell you, as a guy, I'm embarrassed to say that I know very little to nothing about uterine cancer. You need to please talk to me like uterine cancer for dummies. I know it's a very serious subject, but explain it in the most basic terms so that I can understand what it is, who it affects, age groups, and the like.
Great. Let's start right at the very beginning. And I think we've got to be very clear when I'm going to talk about a uterine cancer or cancer of the uterus.
Yeah.
I will actually be talking about endometrial cancer. That means it's cancer of the lining of the uterus.
Okay.
There is also cancer of the muscular part of the uterus, but that is never referred to as uterine cancer. That is sarcoma of the uterus. So we'll be talking about cancer of the lining of the uterus. Now, for the people who don't know exactly what the uterus is, there is another name that is commonly used, and that is the womb. And the womb is an organ that only females have, and it is the organ, once fertilization has taken place, where the fetus will grow and develop until it is time for that baby to be born. And it will then be expelled from the uterus through the... Sorry, those are my naughty four-legged ones.
Occupational hazard. Prof, I did say to you, I'm a guy, and I did say to you that my knowledge level was very low, but like that much I kind of get in terms of the womb, what it does, et cetera. What I want to try and understand is, to what extent is cancer in the uterus or the womb an issue, and why is it such an issue? Is this genetic?
Well,
is it diet?
What is it?
Yeah.
It is an issue. There's no question about it being an issue, because it affects the fertility of, or it can affect the fertility of the woman involved. It is also an issue because, you know, the latest statistics that we have is for 2023. And I must tell you that the South African statistics is an histologically based statistics. That means that only cases where a tissue sample has been sent to a laboratory and it has been confirmed by means of this tissue sample, only they are included in the statistics. And during 2023, which is the latest stats that we have available, 1,000, just over 1,900 women in South Africa were diagnosed with uterine cancer. That is quite a lot. And,
Okay, that's so interesting, because I've got no means of comparison. So 1,900 is a lot and an alarming statistic. Is it affecting particular demographics at all? Is it related in any way, racial or?
Bring it down to you. We'll talk about the racial issue just now. I can tell you that in women, uterine cancer is 4% of all cancers amongst women.
Oh, wow.
Is uterine cancer. So it's not a very low figure.
No.
And if we start looking at the various racial groups, then the black women have a much higher incidence of uterine cancer.
How do you explain that, Prof?
Yes, there were 1,200 black women diagnosed and only 380 white women. But we must not be fooled by that and say that black ladies are more inclined to uterine cancer, because the lifetime risk for white females is about 1 in 100. And the lifetime risk for a black woman, 1 in 140. So white woman, that is one of the risk factors, is to be a white woman. Then the incidence of uterine cancer, we start seeing an increase in the age group of about 30 years. Now, this is something that is really disconcerting, and that is that we don't only find it in uterine cancer, we find it in many of the cancers where these types of cancers used to be a cancer of the more older and mature woman. We're talking about 50 and 60 years old.
Yeah.
We now see people under the age of 40 already being diagnosed with uterine cancer. And it continues, and the incidence until about age 70. And then there's a slight decline for the older woman, and the decline is most probably because there aren't very many women who can still get uterine cancer after the age of about 75.
Let's talk about identification of this cancer, because I would presume, as with most cancers, early detection saves lives. What are the sort of symptoms that women should be aware of?
Well, you know, we've got to look at specific then at some of the other cancers as well. Looking at, for instance, cervical cancer and uterine cancer, because they are very closely related. The one is the end point of the uterus, and the other is the lining of the uterus.
Yeah.
And in the lining of the uterus, the uterine cancer, there's normally abnormal vaginal bleeding or a discharge.
Okay.
And of course, pelvic pain or feeling of pressure in the pelvic area. Whereas in cervical cancer, there's only an abnormal vaginal bleeding. So if there's only vaginal bleeding, then we suspect uterine cancer more than because there's not only uterine cancer, but also discomfort in the pelvis aura. And that points more to uterine cancer, whereas in cervical cancer is only abnormal vaginal bleeding.
Interesting. Very, very, very interesting. And so important, because as you say, you know, early detection is going to save lives. What kind of advances have been made in treatment for this particular type of cancer?
Well, you know, advances in most forms of cancer have improved over the years. And nowadays, we don't only have chemotherapy, radiation therapy, and hormonal treatment and support and that type of thing. There is also now, more lately, a new type of cancer treatment, and we refer to that as immunotherapy.
Yeah.
And the word immuno is derived from immunity. And this is wonderful, because in immunotherapy, the drugs given to the person stimulates the immune system of the patient to attack the cancer cells. So it's not the medicine itself that attacks the cancer cells, but stimulation of the immune system to fight the cancer cells. So the side effects is usually far less in immunotherapy than it is in chemotherapy. But the major disadvantage is that immunotherapy is very expensive, because it's in the early stages of development, and the people who are running the clinical trials and the research, they want their money back that they've put into the research, and immunotherapy drugs are still very expensive. And with some cancers, immunotherapy drugs can be in excess of R1 million
to treat one. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness me. You've got to be, not in 10 years would I have thought you were talking about that kind of sum of money.
Isn't it sad that you know, we have to say to people, yes, there is immunotherapy, but unfortunately, there are very few people who can afford it.
Is it a game changer in terms of results obtained?
Well, the game changer will be that more chemotherapy drugs will be developed, and that more people will be able then to afford it, and that the price will definitely come down. Because we need it.
That's mind-blowing. That's a shocking number. R1 million for treatment. All right, well, given the treatment is pretty much unaffordable for most people, what sort of preventative lifestyle measures could one take to avoid the risk of developing uterine cancer?
Well, here, you know, one must look at what are the risk factors.
Yeah.
And the risk factors here, of course, we've now seen you've got to be a woman to have uterine cancer. Then some of the other problems is that diabetes is a major risk factor. People with diabetes is more and have a higher risk for endometrial cancer. And then estrogen replacement therapy can also increase the risk. But if ladies need estrogen replacement, they must talk to their doctor and hear whether they cannot get estrogen replacement therapy with the use of progesterone. And the combination of estrogen and progesterone in the estrogen replacement therapy, and it neutralizes the negative effect of the estrogen.
Prof, then, go on.
No, sorry, ask your question first.
No, I was just looking at the time and I've got all of 1 minute to go. And this has been such an interesting discussion. But I'm just wondering, as a last word, are there any misconceptions about uterine cancer that perhaps you'd like to address? Because I think it's really important.
Well, you know, I think the most important thing is, and that will be my take-home message to everybody.
Yes.
And that is that anything that is different in your body today than it was yesterday, last week, or last month should be reported to a health professional so that it can be investigated. Because you said so also right in the beginning, early diagnosis leads to early. Uterine cancer, early diagnosed, has a wonderful chance of complete recovery.
That's a nice point to leave that discussion today. Professor Herbst, thank you for talking to us here on Chai FM.